This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 3/21/22, show number 375. Well, we had a monster rally last week, Nick, and now it looks like we're hitting resistance. And what happens next?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We did have that big rally last week, and it was a big one. Notice it came during options expiration, quad witch, so they took out all the people that bought puts for the near-term expiration, as they always do, and they ripped the markets higher. And now we are seeing the market stall out. But in all fairness, the S&P spiders hit the 200-day moving average this morning, right around 446, and they're due to pull back. So spiders are down about 0.1%. We're not going to make a whole lot out of it. If the market can go sideways for a few days, it's poised to go a bit higher. And then when we get up a little bit more, then I think we'll hit another resistance point on the spiders, probably around the 451, 452 level. If you're taking a look at the S&P 500 cash, around 4525 is going to be pretty good near-term resistance. But it's a good, it's a decent market tape right now. Markets acted well yesterday, last week, and we'll see how they go. And the leader of the pack today, Kerry, once again, is energy. I mean, there's no killing this stuff. Energy is up across the board, and you have crude oil higher again. And as long as this war continues, energy is still going to be very, very strong. And this war is lasting a long, long time now, longer than I would have thought. The longer it lasts, the worse it is.
Yeah. Well, it makes you wonder, like, what exactly is really going on there? Because obviously we're not getting the whole truth, huh?
We're getting, we're not even getting crumbs at this stage of the game. You know, the one thing I've learned, when the media tells you to look at one thing and pumps the narrative, there's something else going on behind the scenes. So again, take that stuff with a grain of salt. That's what I do. I just look at the charts. And right now I'm not sure what to make out of Russia and Ukraine, but I have to think there's a lot more to that story than meets the eye.
Hey, nothing to see here. Move along, right?
That's well said.
All right, so bonds, what's going on with them?
Yeah, so bonds are making a bit of a move again. Today, in fact, we have the 10-year U.S. Treasury note yield up about 9.5 basis points, sitting at 2.24%. And yields are on the move again. Last week, we did have a big Fed meeting on Wednesday. The Federal Reserve raised rates for the first time in 3 years. They also have cut the cord. They are no longer buying U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. As you know, they were buying $120 billion a month of that stuff. They are no longer doing that. So the market basically has gotten rid of the training wheels. Now, yields are still very, very low. They only raised rates a quarter point, 25 basis points, that is. And they said they're going to raise rates every meeting going forward. I believe there's 6 or 7 meetings left this year. So that tells you rates are going to go higher, but they got a long way to go because the market generally should track, or the Fed funds rate should generally track the 2-year treasury, and that is above 2%. Fed funds rate is just at a quarter. So again, they got a long way to go.
And what does it mean for inflation? Even if they do all these rate increases, inflation is raging. There's really no way to put that genie back in the bottle, is there?
No, there's no way to put that genie back in the bottle. In fact, that genie has escaped and has offspring. So right now, when you look at inflation, you got to look at what just happened. The government, the Biden administration, just signed a $1.5 trillion omnibus bill that says more inflation. It's just, there's no way to catch up to inflation right now. These guys are so far behind the curve. I don't even know how to put it into words.
Yeah, well, it's a futility in motion here. So they basically just accepted higher inflation. Maybe that's what they really want, isn't it?
I think so. I think so. These guys are mathematicians, statisticians, PhDs, MBAs. They can't be this dumb. This has got to be exactly what they want.
Yeah, because if they didn't, right, they'd be doing something else.
Of course, they would raise, if they didn't, they'd go in there and raise rates a full point every meeting. You know, if you want to combat inflation, they're not looking to combat inflation. They're looking to leave this thing running hot. And with all of this inflation, it hurts the people at the lower income levels, and it hurts them the most. I mean, just look at, you know, everybody blames Russia right now, at least the media blames Russia for the high gas prices. High gas prices were already on the move way before the Putin scenario even came in, or the Ukraine scenario even came about. So, you know, we have inflation at the stores, food, you have inflation at the gas pump, you have inflation when it comes to metals. If you want to buy some aluminum, I'm putting in a new fence in my yard. And I couldn't believe the price increase that from just 6 months. So, again, it's everywhere and it's running wild.
All right. So, so as far as gold and silver, they were heading higher even before the war, right? And what are we seeing there?
Well, gold and silver were actually upticking a little bit, but they really spiked on the back of this war. In fact, if you take a look at the gold chart, you'll see that right around March 8th was when gold really made that big, big surge, went into a double top, and that double top goes all the way back to August 2020. And gold just did not exceed it on a closing basis. Right now, it's pulling back, but the uptrend is still very firmly intact, especially on the larger time frame. So if gold can just work off this overbought condition that it just made earlier in the month, then it can still go higher. I have a hard time seeing gold go down significantly with this war taking place. Now, if this war ends, I think gold is going to sell off because the Fed is going to raise rates, yields are moving up. Those are big headwinds generally for gold. However, if this war continues, gold has shown its hand already. Unlike crypto, gold has shown its hand that it is the ultimate fear trade as people really ran into gold. So I like the fact that it has tipped the cap in there and it said, hey, look at us, wink, wink. We are the ultimate currency. And it always is, it always was, and it always will be.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for that. So crypto has been weak, like you said. You know, 45,000 is still resistance, huh?
Yes, 45,000 is still the big resistance point on the Bitcoin futures chart. And again, that level, you know, was basically tested, I believe, right on the 2nd of March. And now we're sitting, you know, just under 41,000. So again, you know, crypto is not looking all that strong right now. You'd really need to break above that 46,000 level with real volume in order to get this thing going again. Other than that, it's just chugging along in a range. And there's nothing wrong with being in a trading range, except that it's consolidating the recent down move. And anytime you consolidate a thrust lower, you're eventually going to go lower. So I would be a little bit careful with crypto right now. It's slightly negative. It could be a lot more negative down the road if you do consolidate those bigger time frames, and it's starting to do that.
Wow. So, you know, I'm looking, I was doing some research on a project I'm working on. You know, like if you have 9 cents per kilowatt electricity, do you know how much one Bitcoin costs to mine?
I do not know.
I'll tell you what it is. And it's actually cost $34,000 to mine it per coin. But... Wow. If your energy is like 2-3 cents, like it is in China, then it's a third of that. So it's still profitable being a Bitcoin miner, although, you know, it's kind of crazy when you think about how much energy and electricity goes into using to creating these Bitcoins. You know,
it really is amazing. And again, you know, to everybody out there that is, you know, a green energy fan and all of this stuff that's, you know, they just love all the green technology. It just goes to show you, even in electric cars, you know, to just get one battery created, I forget how much earth you got to dig up. I think it's, you know, just some tremendous amount, 50,000 acres of land or something that you got to tear up just to get enough rare earths to put into these batteries. And then crypto is another one. So, you know, you got to let these things transpire organically. You know, right now it's being forced down our throats. And again, that never works out well.
No, Nope, but that's what they're doing. There's an agenda in there somewhere, and Tesla is booming. So speaking of Tesla, looking at its chart, what are you seeing?
All right, so the Tesla chart today, by the way, up 2%, 19-point gain. I think Tesla's headed to around 950, 955. I think it stalls out there, though, on a daily chart basis. After that, the obvious level is going to be right around 1,000, but it's hanging in there pretty well. Now, Tesla in February went down to 700. I told my members I thought that was going to be a key low for a very, very good ABC bounce, and I think we're in the making of that little zigzag ABC bounce. And Tesla's gone from 700. I think it's going to go to 950, currently sitting at around 924. So a little bit more upside than I think it stalls out. Then you got to wait on a pattern to develop because it will have already reached its upside objective. And again, holding up, you know, fairly well at the moment. So bigger time frame, the trend is up in Tesla and still, you know, the stock is still holding up pretty well for now.
Okay, one other thing. We talked about this a while ago, and I don't like to just talk about things and then drop it and never come back. Nat gas, remember, it hit a high 650. Right now, Henry Hub on the spot is 490. What does that chart look like?
Yeah, so the Nat gas chart is still uptrending. Only negative for Nat gas is that you have so much resistance going into early February that it's very hard to make a bigger, substantial move at the moment. So it's all about pattern. If it can consolidate, Nat gas can go higher. At the moment, though, I think it's just going to stay in a trading range somewhere between the low fives and around 410. I think that's the trading range for the foreseeable future right now.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it. Hey, I was away last week, so couldn't do any shows other than Mondays. But we're back now. We'll try to get everything done. And look, go over to Nick's site. InTheMoneyStocks.com. See how he's beaten the averages, the indexes for decades now. The Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz, and your emails are always welcome at KL@KerryLutz.com. Nick, we will talk to you on Wednesday.
Sounds good.